Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I'm so glad you joined me today as we continue on in the message, Living the Victorious Life. Now, we know what the Word of God says, but I know probably every single one of us have been in a place where we have been discouraged, we have been embattled, we have been troubled, we have been fretful, we have been upset, we have not been in a good place, and we just want to, you know, go away and crawl in a cave somewhere generally, because we know that's not the way a Christian should be. But nonetheless, sometimes the warfare is so intense, circumstances are so adverse, that that's exactly how we feel. And you know, as I was preparing to come on this broadcast, I was thinking of an old joke I heard a long time ago. Now, I have to confess, I'm not very good at telling jokes. I love a good joke, and some people are really wonderful at sharing a joke, but I'll do my best. There was, to illustrate this point, there was a mother who went in to awaken her son, and it was a Sunday, and she said, it's time to get up. You need to get ready for church. And there was this long, soulful moan, and he rolled over and pulled the covers over his head and put the pillow over his head, and he just moaned, and he didn't move. He didn't get up. So she came back a second time, and she said, now, Johnny, you need to get up or you're going to be late for church. And he said, I don't want to go. He said, I don't like those people and they don't like me and I just don't want to go. And he still didn't get up. So she came back a third time and she said, Johnny, this is the last time I'm going to tell you. You need to get up. And he said, just give me one good reason why I should go. And she said, because you're the pastor and you're preaching today. So, beloved, even those in ministry have times where, you know, look at Elijah, look at Jonah. Well, he had a time of disobeying God, right? And he ended up, well, if you know the story of the book of Jonah, I cannot imagine what 3 days in the belly of a large fish would be exactly like. But it was enough to constrain him to obedience. Anyway, beloved, we all get there because the warfare is intense. But there is a place in God where we can really, as if we live in the Spirit, and we do, if we are born again, we can walk in the Spirit. There is a place of peace and joy in the midst of trials. And the wonderful thing, I love to read Paul, because only the Lord knows the intensity of the warfare that was against him in the heavenlies, in the spirit, demonic forces doing everything they could to discourage him. The physical battles he had, the beatings, that stoning, the shipwrecks, the resistance and the hindrances and the terrible experiences that he had with the Judaizers, who just did everything they could to hinder new believers from following the word of truth. He faced so much, and yet, beloved, he learned through all those trials a place of serenity. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's not just poetic phraseology. That was born out of experience. And so, beloved, you and I have that potential to be able to have that same experience with God. In fact, I want to stop right now and pray, because so many of you have been so discouraged. You've been on it's like a teeter-totter, up one day, down the next. There has been some breakthroughs, but you feel you're really not gaining any real ground. And it has just been very, very difficult. And I realize just circumstantially, the body of Christ has gone through intense spiritual warfare the last few years, as well as in the natural. And that shows that Satan's time knows that he knows that his time is short. And so we need to redeem the time and to understand and learn those spiritual principles that God wants us to learn and not live as we did in days past, because we're no longer children. It's time for the meat of the word that we can truly not just live in the Spirit, but walk in the Spirit, because God tells us in His Word, if we do that, we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh, which is a major battle. That's where the enemy starts, with all those who are not spiritually mature. And this isn't some mystical, super spiritual, head in the clouds, Pollyanna walk. This is being led by the Spirit, and it's obeying God. It's mortifying the deeds of the body. How do we do that? Well, prayer and communion with God, reading and studying the Word of God, and most importantly, living each day, yielding our will to do God's will, to put our whole body under submission to the Lord. Remember that scripture, present your body a living sacrifice unto God, and to join the assembly of the saints. Many people, you know, why does God say, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together? Because there is a spiritual principle there. So often folks might get mad at the preacher, and because their feathers are ruffled or the pastor did something they didn't like, and I don't mean failing to preach the word, but the pastor does that which, you know, God tells them to do from His word, and the person doesn't understand, or because of their own selfish motives, they get mad and quit. And beloved, that is not God's plan. And also, I know sometimes people have been very deeply hurt by the body of Christ, by the saints, or even, unfortunately, by leadership. But the point is, human nature will fail, even in ministry. But there's one who never fails, and His name is Jesus. He is our perfect example. So you can't use the hurts that you've experienced in the past, or the misunderstandings, or the lack of appreciation or respect, or whatever you've experienced that's been painful and hurtful, to keep you from moving on with God. You have to forgive and move on in God. And if you don't, the enemy is succeeding in his attempt to hold you paralyzed, if you will, in your spiritual condition. In fact, let's just pray right now. Father, you see those that have been hurt, perhaps by leadership, by other Christians, and Lord, they're not in fellowship, and Lord, their lives are, they're not happy with their lives. They know Jesus. They want to serve God. They want to be pleasing to God. But Lord, it's been such a battle and a struggle. And so, Father, I lift everyone. No matter how long they've served the Lord, there still has been not that place that they desire to walk in, of peace and joy and a sense of victory, that really is our portion. And so, Father, I release right now the faith of God. Lord, increase the faith of your people. Your disciples asked, they said, pray. They said, Lord, increase our faith. And so, Father, you who originated faith in our lives to be able to accept salvation, complete that work in us. Give us the faith, give us the knowledge, give us the revelation that we can live a different life. We can live on a higher plane. We can move in the anointing and authority of God. Does that mean the battles will go away? No, but we will know how to deal with them, and we will no longer suffer under the ravages of the enemy. But we will put in the name of Jesus, that as we are submitted to you, Lord, we will resist him and he will flee, because we walk in the authority that God has given us. So in the name of Jesus, saints, arise, be loosed from those shackles that have held you back, the bondage of the carnal nature, and I loose you into a walk in the Spirit that you've not experienced before. And I'm claiming that for myself as well. In Jesus' mighty name, praise God. You know, Jesus said, any person who puts his hand to the plow and looks back isn't fit for the kingdom of heaven. And that applies both spiritually, obviously concerning your salvation, if you just say, yep, it's too hard, I'm going back to the world, but also the work that God has called you to. We all have a ministry. We're all able ministers of the new covenant. It may not be, quote, fivefold ministry, a public ministry of preaching or teaching. That doesn't make it any less significant or important. Now, let's look at some what the word has to say. Galatians 5:17 states, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh." He is speaking truth now, Paul. Realities, spiritual realities, and these are contrary to one, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And the Living Bible puts it this way, "For we naturally love to do evil things that are just the opposite from the things that the Holy Spirit tells us to do. And the good things we want to do when the Spirit has His way with us are just the opposite of our natural desires." These two forces within us are constantly fighting each other to win control over us, and our wishes are never free from their pressures. Well, that doesn't sound very encouraging, does it? That kind of constant warfare? The New American Standard Bible puts it like this, "For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that ye may not do the things that you please." Now, in verse 19, God says, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousing, and of the which I forewarn you, just as I forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, our King James states that they who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Greek really means practice. In other words, it may be possible to sin in these areas, for anger, for example, but you don't make an ongoing practice of it. You recognize that such things are wrong. And if you do it continually and with willingness to do those things, that's another issue. But God's grace is sufficient to cover those sins of the flesh nature. Well, my time has gone and we'll continue on tomorrow. I thank you for joining me. I do love you and pray for you every day. And I do thank you for your prayers for me. This is a mutual responsibility that we pray for one another and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens, that's what the scriptures say, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I love you and want God's best for you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,